So as you grab the source sheets over there, we'll go over very briefly what we covered yesterday. Please take the source sheets. We're not going to be able to say everything that we did, and maybe we should also have a shiur on all the crazy applications and all the crazy situations that come up with this chayla. But let's go over the basics. Yesterday, we talked about this pasuk of the Torah says, "Uchsov es kaka lo sitim b'chem ani Hashem." You should not have a tattoo. And that's what a chsov es kaka is. We then read the Gemara. First of all, the Mishnah, I should say. The Mishnah says there are two ingredients, writing and puncturing the skin. You got to do both. And that there's a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. The opinion of Tanakama seems to be, again, Lule the Rivand, meaning which is written in the place of Rashi there, and Lule the Rishonim. The simple reading of the Mishnah seems to be, according to the Tanakama, you're chayev for making any sort of tattoo. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're only chayev if you write the name of an Avodah Zarah, as clarified there by the Gemara, not the words Ani Hashem, although we said that would be kind of funny, but not really. Now, we also had in the Gemara a discussion about what level of Maris Ayin there is, and we talked about that. We read through a couple of Rishonim, and we tried to discuss whether we paskin like Rabbi Shimon or whether we paskin like Tanakama, and what each of those shitos means. We didn't quite fully discuss yet. Just a note, by the way, there'll be a lot of comments on this as we go through, but just to summarize for those who weren't here, here's basically what we covered. Okay? So, meaning more in-depth, and those are just the basic sources of the manner of introduction. What did we cover more in-depth? So first of all, we had the Rivan, again, who I'm going to refer to as Rashi, because he's in the place of Rashi, and that's the way he's referred to a lot in the Lashon HaPoskim. So, Rashi is of the opinion that even according to Rabbi Shimon, there is even an Isser of any Ksovis Kaka, seemingly Midoraisa. Okay, so Midoraisa. Even though Rabbi Shimon says you have to write the name of an Avodah Zarah, that's the only case where you get Malkus, says Rashi. But to actually be an Isser Doraisa is for any tattoo. So really, practically speaking, getting a tattoo, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter which shita we paskin like in terms of being over an Isser Doraisa, only whether you get Malkus or not. According to Tanakam, you'll get Malkus. According to Rishimon, you won't get Malkus, but you're still over an Isser Doraisa. We showed, and will continue to show today, that according to other Rishonim, that does not seem to be the case according to Rishimon. According to Rishimon, it sounds like you're not going to be chayev, certainly not an Isser Doraisa, for writing other things, for tattooing other things on your skin. This was one comment from Rashi. We also saw, we talked a little bit about, we mentioned the order a little bit, we said maybe we'll go into that further. And we also saw a Tosefta, which may have added a third Shita, may, and we'll talk about maybe Tosefta maybe a little bit more today, whether it might be Tanakama or Rabbi Shimon. Yes.
I don't know, it could be, I wasn't here yesterday, but according to, I guess, that understanding of Rabbi Shimon, that it's a regular dosa, say, why would there not be Malkus?
So this touches on a bigger issue. I was zoche over the last 2 days. So there are two times I listen to shiur. When I'm in my car and when I wash dishes. And I had a lot of dishes to wash yesterday. And I was in my car also a chunk of time the last couple of days. So I was listening to Aaron Leibowitz when he gave shiur on this. And he talked about, I mean, there are definitely situations where we see Isurei Deoraisa that are not like the main Isurei Deoraisa. He talked about this a little bit more. I'm welcome to reference it. But the basic idea is that there can be an Iker Isurei Deoraisa, which you get Malkus for, and things which the Torah clearly prohibits, but you wouldn't get Malkus
same
for.
Level.
It's both are an Isurei Deoraisa, and all of the, so Safik Deoraisa L'Chumran, both of them, but one of them will get you Malkus, one of them won't. Why specifically in this case? Perhaps because this fulfills also the not just the letter of the law, but also the spirit of the law by doing something that's avodah zarish, which again is the idea of Rabbi Shimon. Now let's talk. Let's just briefly introduce Tosefta. You can see is the fifth source on the first page. Tosefta is very, very important. I'm going to read through it. Just to give you some language here, and then we'll, I think the way that we'll do this is rather than going in the order of the source sheets, we'll talk a little bit more about the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch first, because we didn't get to talk enough about the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch yesterday, and also now that I've heard these shiurim in the interim, so I have some other things to say, both in agreement and in disagreement, not that I'm anything compared to any of these other gedolim, but always interesting to discuss different ideas and things that I've seen in the in-between. So let's read through the Tosefta very briefly. Hakosef ksoves kaka b'bsaro shel chavero. If you make a tattoo on your friend, Shnehem chayavin, both of you are chayav. Amid ramor mizman shayu shnehem mizidin. That's when you both did it intentionally. Al hayu shnehem shogegin. But if both of you were shogeg shnehem pturin, then both of you would be pater. Echad shogeg v'echad mezid. Shogeg pater mezid chayav. Right? And basically the idea is, if one person didn't take part, or if one person did it accidentally, or whatever you want to call a shogeg here is a little bit hard to define. This relates to the Rambam. We'll see how the Rambam formulates it. But the basic idea is, echad shogeg v'echad mezid, shogeg pater mezid chayav. Okay, so if someone just didn't know what was going on, they thought it was okay, whatever the case was, one's going to be chayav if they did it intentionally, the other one, if it was mistaken, or they didn't take part in it, in some form or fashion, then they're going to be off the hook. Now, says the Tosefta, the main part that I want to focus on, ve'eno chayev, you're not chayev, ad sheyichto v'yikakeya bidyo u'bikol la'avoda zara. You're only chayev if you write and you pierce with ink, or this type of ink or that type of ink, to avoda zara. Kofa v'ismael pater, by the way, an ismael is some sort of knife that you cut with, unless you just peeled something off, your pater. Okay, very interesting case. Again, your pater mitzat ksoves kaka. We said that it's not a good idea to just cut yourself open. Halachically also, but nevertheless, again, it's not, if you did just one, that seems to be a good right. Not haroshim al avda shaliyev rach pater, and if you write on your eved, in order that they don't run away, your pater. Okay? So, we can talk about this again. Maybe we'll have a separate chair on all the crazy cases. There's so many things we could get lost on. There's a famous tshuva, which I know that you've seen, but others about tattooing the word mamzer on the forehead of mamzerim so that they don't marry the wrong people. There's crazy, crazy tshuvas out there. There's crazy stories out there. There's, maybe we can go through this in a separate chair. There's also a very famous theory floated by some of the Rishonim, even the name of Yehuda Chazed, that the story of Yehuda and Tamar. I don't know, have any of you ever read The Three Musketeers? Anybody ever watched The Three Musketeers? So apparently there was an old practice, as it's recorded in the book, that harlots, or prostitutes, in order that people would know that that's what they're doing, they would be branded. They would take hot iron, and they would put some sort of symbol somewhere on their body to show this. So these Rishonim suggest that in the case of when Yehuda and Tamar, when Yehuda says, Hotzi uha v'ti saref, take her out and burn her, it didn't mean burn her, like light her on fire, or do a iser, or do the misa of srefa, of pouring boiling lead down her throat. V'ti saref, say some of these Rishon, it means brand her. Because that's what you did when you had a zona. This was the punishment / warning to other people. So it's a fascinating idea. I mean, it changes the whole makeup of Tadori, because now he's not trying to kill her. He's just saying, she's a zona, okay. You gotta do what you gotta do. There's a lot more to it, but anyways, lots of interesting things we can talk about. Now is not necessarily the time. Let's learn the sugya in halacha. So let's we again had yesterday the rush and the riff seem to paskin like Rabbi Shimon, whereas almost all of the other Rishonim did not, and many, many more Rishonim than I brought here. I just brought the Ritva as an example, but many more. And then we have the Rambam. Let's read the Rambam. I'm going to read the Rambam first presented. And then we'll go through different ways to understand the Rambam, why the Rambam wrote certain details the way he did. I'm basically going to present two mahalchim. First, the mahalach that I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz, which is more of a standard mahalach in the Achronim. Obviously, he adds on things from his own. So again, anything you can assume, which I'm saying, my first reading of the Rambam, you can assume is from him. Then I'm going to do a second adjustment to the Rambam based on actually what Chaim Kanievsky wrote. Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer on the Rambam, not very well known, called Kiryas Melech, very good. And Kiryas Melech, he tries to bring oftentimes the sources of the Rambam. Now, it's very important to note that the Rambam was not married, and I'm saying this in the most respectful of terms, but the Rambam was not married to the traditional conclusions of the Talmud Bavli. A lot of other poskim, obviously the Rif and the Rush, is everything's about the Talmud Bavli, maybe the Bodhi Yerushalmi here and there, but the Rambam will often paskin based on Yerid Midrashim that we didn't necessarily know about, or based on Toseftas, or Yerushalmis, or Sifras, or Midrash Yalacha of some sort. And that's oftentimes the actual source for a Rambam, and I think this is a great case study of that. If you're going to read Rambam Kanievsky, where he points to some obscure Medrash as the source of the first part of the Rambam, we'll see. But first I'll read you the traditional Lumdish way of reading the Rambam, as opposed to Rashi and others. So first of all, Ksoves Kaka Hamura Batorah. What is the Ksoves Kaka, which is said in the Torah? Hu sheyisareit al b'saro v'yimalei makom hasrita k'chol odio o'sher tzivonim aroshpim. So what is it? sheyisaret al bisaro, that you scratch your skin, meaning make some sort of incision in your skin, viyamale mikom hasrita chol odio oshar tivonim haroshma, and you fill it up with either this color or that color or any color which leaves a mark. Okay, so that's the way that the Rambam formulates it. Again, and everything I'm going to say here is you know, based in either traditional achronim, and again, as presented to Berber Leibowitz, but again, I saw this most of these points, I would say, I saw an achronim prior to that. So first of all, people got all up in arms about the order. What did Rashi say? Above? Okay? Kosev tchila b'saro ve'achar kach b'kakeh ha'basar. First you write, then you do it. I don't know, maybe the Rivan was just a regular in tattoo parlors. It could be that the Rivan was just simply saying, this is what people do. I don't know that the Rivan was trying to say it didn't exof as kaka. Many, many Achronim disagree with me, and many Achronim agree with me. But anyways, Rashi says one, the Rambam says the opposite. First you make the cut, then you fill it up. Why does the Rambam say that? So two general reasons are given. One is vastly preferred by the Achronim. One way is to say, what does the word ksoves kaka mean? So again, that would seem more like Rashi. Rashi says, right, first you write, then you puncture. So there's two ways to do it. Some say that ksoves kaka means a ksiva which is inside a kaka, which means that the kaka has to come first. That's one way to understand this Rambam, that ksoves kaka means the writing that's inside the puncture wound, meaning you first have to make the puncture, then you do the writing. That's not preferred by many. The traditional explanation that many, many say in the Rambam is that no, he actually understands the word ksoves to mean puncture, and kaka to mean
the dying.
Why does the Rambam say that? Read the Mishnah carefully.
Go read. Because
it's kaka. No, go read the Mishnah. What in the Mishnah is the Rambam being medayek? Nope. Either way, it would be chayav. What do you mean? Either way, it could be not chayav. Either way, it could be possible. What's the diak in the Mishnah the Rambam is building off? Eino chayav ad sheyichto v'yikakeya bidyo uvikho uvchol davar shehu roshim. If you're being a literalist and you're being a pashtun in the Mishnah, what does that mean? You're not chayav until you write and mikakeya in with dio and chol and anything which is roshim. If the Mishnah was trying to be exactly correct, and it was really trying to say that you're writing and then cutting, it should have said, achiyichto vidyo v'chol uv'chol davar shehu roshim v'yikakeya. So says the Rambam, I'm reading the Mishnah, achiyichto v'yikakeya vidyo v'chol uv'chol davar shehu roshim. That the ksiva, according to the Rambam, how do you write on your skin, is by cutting your skin. And kakua is putting in the ink. I don't love this pshat. Again, many people say it in the Rambam. I don't love this pshat because, first of all, we're literally breaking up the words kosev and kakeya on the Mishnah. Like, we're trying to find a deal for the Mishnah like that. But nevertheless, people say that pshat in the Rambam, and they bring a proof from Rambam later on. Let's continue. Rambam continues. Zehaya minaka akum. This was the custom of the goyim. Sherosh min atzman lavaros kochavim. And again, people are medak for the Rambam. Rambam keeps on using the word rishima. What can rishima mean? It can mean two things. Most of the time it means to make a mark. Other times, what does it mean? Sometimes to sign up for something, which is a good play on words over here. Anyways, shirosh ben atzman lavaros kochavim, they mark themselves or assign them up to lavaros kochavim, klomar, meaning, shehu eved machur la umursham la avodasa, that he is an eved sold to this avodazara and signed up and is, you know, has been marked for its avoda, ume eis sheyirshom be'achad midvarim haroshmin achar sheyisrot, and from when you put some marking thing after you scratch, says the Rambam, be'eze mako min haguf, in any place in your body, ben ish eloke, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, you get malchus. Why, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman? I believe Leibowitz was very bothered by this. I can think of a number of terutzim. Why would you think? I saw a beautiful terrace from Chaim, which I'll tell you in a minute. So says Reb Leibowitz, I'll tell you why. Because let's look at the next couple of next part of the halacha, the Rambam. Kasev lo rasham betseva, or rasham betseva lo kasev etzrita patar achikhtiv akeya, shneamar uksov es kaka. You got to do both. That's straightforward. Again, you got kasev lo rasham or rasham lo kasev. That's fine. Bamed varmor mikosev aval zeh shekasvo bivisarov ekeya. The kikeubo ain't no chayvelim kain siyeya kadesh yase maisa, But if they wrote on your skin and you didn't do anything, you're only chayev if you helped with it. Avalim lo asaklum. But if the person is just lying there like a board, you know, they're drugged, and someone gives you a tattoo, then obviously says the Rambam, eino loka, you're not going to get malchus. Says Rabbi Leibowitz, I'll tell you why it says benish benisha loka, because this last line of the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah assumes is learned from the halachos of hakafas arosh. Hakafas arosh is for payas. Okay, why we have to have payas. Now, do women have to have payas? No. So, since the Rambam is learning from payas, so therefore, since women aren't chayiv in payas, you would have had a hava, that a yisha was potter. So therefore, the Rambam says, benish benisha loka. This is an example again, and it's a beautiful pshat in the Rambam, and again, many Acharonim say many different parts of this, but the basic idea is, for the Rambam, the main Acharonish idea is that ksoves means to cut, kakea means to fill with ink, you're chayiv for any rishima, there's no din ksiva at all. The Rambam doesn't talk about ksiva over here, even though it's called ksoves kaka. Why? You don't need to write letters. Like we might have thought, and we'll talk about that later on in today's year. But that's the pshat of the Rambam. Now, Reb Chaim does three things for this, and he tells you three things. First of all, Reb Chaim, like many Acharonim before him, points out that the source that the Kesef Mishnah was not aware of is the Tosefta that we saw, right? That for that last part of the Rambam about helping, a ton of Acharonim, a ton of Mefarshei Rambam all say, yeah, that comes straight from the Tosefta. That if you're b'shogeg, you're pater. But if you're b'meizid, you're chayiv, and only if you're b'meizid, that's what it means, in lo si'eya, if you didn't help out, and that's in the core for the Rambam, that seems to be very accepted. So you'd say, okay, fine, so it's not learned from Gilavah, so what are you going to do about benish benisha? So listen to what he says, a brilliant teretz, Reb Chaim says. Let's read the end of the Tosefta. What's the last case of the Tosefta? An eved. Haroshim al avdo shelo yivrach pater. So the Rambam's thinking, what's an eved equivalent to in mitzvos? An isha. So Chaim says, maybe you would have had a hava mina that maybe a woman is pater. He's saying, no. You're pater because you're writing on him shalo yivrach, whatever the reason for that is. But again, it's all about the context. If Rambam's pulling from the Tosefta, so Chaim says, look in the Tosefta and you'll find your answer. And so too I would argue, what's the lashon of the Tosefta again? Eino chayv ad sheyichtov v'yekakeya bidyo v'kol lavodadar. Okay, again, it's achi yichto v'yikakeya b'dyo v'kocha. Again, I think that's lav dafka, but it could be the Rambam still has the same lashon there. And what is the Tosefta all about? What is the Rambam's big chiddush that everyone was jumping up and down about? Not a big chiddush. But what does the Rambam turn into a big part of the halacha? He says, oh, it's all about avodah zarah. This is what they used to do. So first of all, Reb Chaim finds a source in a obscure medrash that, well, this is the source of the Rambam, which is not relevant. But again, it's all coming from the Tosefta. Because what does it say in the Tosefta? Achi yichto v'kakeya b'dyo v'kol la'avodah zarah. Now, is the Rambam necessarily paskening like this Tosefta? No. It's probable that he's paskening like Tanakama. The simple read is that he's paskening like Tanakama against Rabbi Shimon, as we noted yesterday. And for that reason, because it disagrees, the Tanakama disagrees with Tosefta, Yachid Rabbam, Malach Rabbam, everything we said yesterday all still applies. But it's just interesting to see, again, these two different ways to read the Rambam, you're going to end up. Now, if that's the case, does the Rambam come to be specific? Okay, it's certainly the language of Rambam is less orderly than the language of Rashi. Rashi is very clear. Kosev tchila v'achar kach mekakeya. The Rambam just says yisarid al basar v'yimali makom asrida kol odio. Again, I don't know exactly which tattoo parlors did what in the days of the Rambam and the days of the Rivan, but you know there are many achronim, Shach included, Bach included. Who basically say, you know, it doesn't matter what order you do it in, this is not what people are coming to say here. Many people, however, specifically choose one or the other. They follow Rashi, or they follow the Rambam, mainly the Rambam. Now, again, we said in Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we don't know whether this is actually Rabbi Shimon or Rabbanan, or is it the Tosefta? Again, the Pashtus is, that is Rabbanan, that is the Tanakama, and you just can't have any tattoo. Okay, now what is Rabbi Shimon's actual shita? We saw Rashi earlier say that even according to Rabbi Shimon, there's an Isser de'oraisa on other tattoos that aren't Shem Avodah Zarah. Shem Avodah Zarah is where you get Malkus, other things not. There's a Bach here, a very, very interesting Bach. Let's read the Bach together. Okay, what does Rabbi Shimon actually hold? Says the Bach. Nira derashi midaktik midalotnan stama Rabbi Shimon Omer ein ksoves kaka achiyichtov sham es Hashem. It's not that in the Mishnah it says Rabbi Shimon says there's no ksoves kaka until you write the name of Avodah Zarah, but what does he say? Eino chayev. Eino chayev, which Rashi is understanding, means eino chayev malchus, but there is an Isser Deoraisa. Alma davka chayev malchus leka. Ella because Hashem Avodah Zarah, nesivani Hashem v'lo acher. Aval aser lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam afil Rabbi Shimon. Kedemash me reisha dekra dekam ruk ksoves kaka lo sitnu bachem. V'tayma de milsa, says the Bach, what's the svar of that? Why is that true? Why is it that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't do it? And listen to what he says. And this, again, we're creeping closer to the Tosefta without knowing it. We'll stop there. So, says the Bach, that Rashi's Sfara is, that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's still something related to Avodah Zarah, just to get a tattoo, period. So therefore, again, the main issue that the Torah tells you to get malchus for is when you write the name of Avodah Zarah. But since all tattooing is like Avodah Zarah, because that was an Avodah Zarah type action, so that's the svara as to why you'd be chayev for, not chayev, but again, you'd be over in Issur D'oraisa if you got any tattoo according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, is this him trying to say pshat on the Rambam? Certainly not. We'll discuss that in a moment. I'll show you. Oh, did I bring it here? Yeah, I brought it over here afterwards. Another thing that he comments, okay, by the way, and I'll just, is that he says, Vizeshkaz of Rabbeinu, which refers to the tour, Ksoves kaka michuke hagoyimu, which is based on, again, what we've seen. He says a very interesting chiddush. Klomar ve'over od belav delo selchu b'chukos hagoyim. Ad kan l'shono. I don't know who he's quoting here, because he didn't seem to be quoting anybody earlier, or maybe I missed it somehow, but he basically says that according to this, that the tour who says, this is a very fascinating chiddush. Those of you who were here for Yarmulkes last week will be especially fascinated. You also, anytime you get a tattoo, you're over two Isurei D'oraisa. Isur D'oraisa number one, tattoo. Isur D'oraisa number two, lo selchu b'chukos hagoy.
That's
Rabbi Shimon also? This is not clear. This is what we still have to clarify today. And we're going to get back to that a little bit later. But again, the tour seems to be pashtus as the tour is going in Tanakama. And even Tanakama says that, whereas we saw Rashi say in Chitas Tanakama, Gzeres HaKasuv, no reasons given, no reasons allowed. Okay, this is the Bach. Now, how do I know the Bach doesn't hold that the Rambam thinks this way also? Meaning maybe he's saying that the Rambam is passing, meaning if you just read that Bach the way it was, you think that the Bach is saying that Rambam is passing like Rabbi Shimon, and that he includes any tattoo. Says the Bach over here, Umash Gazakhaiva Khomashiato Filo Eno Kos of Shem Vodazar, Kfarkasav to Shizeo Rabban and the Pliger Rishimon Vachin Pasik Rambam. So the Bach does not believe that case, he's just bringing the Rambam as a proof that it was what the Ovdia Vodazara did. Okay? Now, and you can see this as well in the Rambam in his Perisha Mishnayas, that he says Vein Halakh Rishimon, and he gives the logic of Rishimon, but also you can see from there. Okay, it sounds like he's saying again that the whole Isra over here is an Isra of Avodah Zarah, and I think maybe you could be medayak from this Rambam that you wouldn't be chayav for anything against Rashi, but certainly, as we saw earlier, you could be medayik from the Ritva, and the Ritva says it explicitly. What's the sheet of Rishimon? Rishimon Yehuda Omer Rishimon, Eino chayav achiyichtov es Hashem. Says the Ritva, and this is a critical point. Here we go. What is the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? According to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah only asks you to write a Shem Avodah Zarah. According to the Rabbanan, it's also based on Avodah Zarah. It's just that. Hifriz b'mida, says the Ritva. The Torah says, how do you stay away from Avodah Zarah? There's two different lines. Rabbi Shimon says the line is, don't sign yourself up on your body as an Avodah Zarah guy. Whereas, the Rabbanan hold, no. Any tattoo is close enough. This is in stark contrast to Rashi. Because Rashi said, according to Rishim, it's all about Avodah Zarah. According to Tanakhama, it's all about Gezeiras HaKasav. I would note, by the way, that Rashi is supported, and this is a kind of off-the-cuff comment, I'm sure many people have made this observation before me. What is Rishim famous for in Shas? All over Shas? Rishim is famous for a particular method of interpretation of Pesukim. Anybody know? It's also in the name of another Rosh Chaim Svar. Rav Shimon is known to be Dorish Taima Dekra. He is always seeking to use the reason of the Pasuk in his interpretation of the mitzvah. Now, we're not going to go into the boundaries of that, and when it's written explicitly in the Pasuk, when it's not written explicitly in the Pasuk. The point is, here, there seems to be an implication of the Pasuk. This really supports the notion of Rashi that, according to Tanakhama, it's Xeris HaKasuk. So Pasuk says, go get a tattoo. According to Rav Shimon, no, it's only a tattoo that's for Avodah Zarah. Now, take that as far as you will, but that's the bottom line. Now, Lemaisa. To summarize what we have before we move on to the Merome Sadeh, which is going to be a very, very important shita, and I found also similar to what I'm going to say pshat on the Merome Sadeh and the Arach Laner. I really like the Arach Laner on the sugya, not again that I don't like him elsewhere, but you just find certain things that you're like, these are things that I was thinking of too, and you connect to it. But to summarize what we have. We have a Tanakhama, we have a Tosefta, and we have a Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, we have a range of views of machlokas between Rashi and the pashtas of everybody else as to whether the only isser is to write Shem Avodah Zarah or that there is an additional isser d'oraisa like Rashi on everything else. This could or could not be the same as the pshat in the Tosefta. The Gra, as we noted yesterday, says yes, it is the same as the pshat in the Tosefta, and the Tosefta follows Rabbi Shimon, and nevertheless we don't pass him like him, at least according to the Gra. In regards to Tanakhama, we also have two approaches. One approach is that of Rashi, which is that it has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah according to Tanakhama. The other is that of the Ritva, and subsequently taken up by the Ramban in a more extreme way, that it is all about Avodah Zarah, even according to the Tanakhama. And again, that has its ramifications. What might those ramifications be? We'll talk about them a little bit more coming up. And then we have the Tosefta's Shita, which may be similar to an interpretation of Tanakhama, may be similar to Rabbi Shimon, most likely similar to Rabbi Shimon, or finally, last case scenario, maybe its own Shita, in which case there may be people out there that possibly like it, maybe not. Again, the Arslan Air is big into this Tosefta, you can see what he has to say, and I just used yesterday's source sheet here, so we don't have it over here. Shulchan Aruch, the Pashtus, the way Shulchan Aruch Paskins, is like Rashi's interpretation of Tanakhama. Okay? Very important, again. Shulchan Aruch gives no talk about Chukas HaGoyim, gives no talk about any Shema Avodah Zarah, nothing. Paskins, like Rashi Rivan's interpretation of Tanakhama, you just can't do it. Seretz Kasav, don't ask questions, don't ask why. And this actually blows up. Now, the Merome Sadeh is a very interesting, very fascinating, fascinating suggestion. Listen to what he says over here. He suggests the following. I'm trying to think how to best present this. Let's say we follow. Let's just read it first, and then we'll try to explain. V'diek min mefarish Ravashi Adri Shimon Shmami Na Dalach Rav Shimon Ucharif. Now, he basically says one way of reading the Gemara: if you look in the Rif, if you look in the Rosh, they quote all of the Gemara. First, they quote the discussion of the Gemara that supports whom, Rav Shimon, and then they quote the next section of the Gemara about putting ash on your wound, as we talked about yesterday, and what it means. Just let's think for a moment. Does this ash on your wound look like the name of an Avodah Zarah? No. I don't think, no matter how skilled you were, you could not scrape your knee to look like the name of an Avodah Zarah. I don't know. Please don't prove me wrong. But I don't think that that's really something that's happening. So therefore, right? Umikol makom etzrich Rav Ashi lahatir b'maka mishum demakasa mochachas alav halav achi aser. Says the Gemara, what's Rav Ashi's pitch? Rashi comes along and he says, because you have a wound there, so no one will think it's a real tattoo. What does that imply? Again, if this is being read in line with the view of Rabbi Shimon, again, does it look like Shimon Bar Azar? No. Yet, says the Metzid, Rav Ashi has to tell you, don't worry, it's okay. There's a maka there. So no one will confuse it with a real tattoo. What does that imply? That if the maka wasn't there, it would be?
It would be a tattoo.
Now, Eina Hanami doesn't look like a Shema Bodhisattva, right? Yet, we see that there would be a Maris Ayin to just have a regular tattoo. I think the implication of what he's saying over here, right? So what that proves, he says, is it proves something similar to Rashi. Why? Because again, Rav Ashi is telling you, the only time your wound tattoo is okay is if everyone can see the wound. Now, we know that logically it makes no sense to assume that your wound looks like the name of an Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Rav Ashi must be implying that without there being a wound there, meaning to get a regular tattoo of the chmesakos and ABCs or a flower, must be usher. Now, what level of isser would you assign that? So Rashi assigned that a level of isser of. Sorry? Deoraisa. No, even according to Rishi Shimon, Rashi said it's usher midoraisa.
But there are no malchus.
But there's no malchus, very good. I think the simpler way to look at what he's saying is to say that it's an Isser Dirabana, right? It's a Maris Ayin concern. Maris Ayin is always a Dirabana. You don't really have Deraisa Maris Ayins. Again, Maris Ayin in general is a Dirabana. So the fact that it's saying Makasa Mochachas Alav, you have a Maka there and it proves it to you, that would show that according to Rishimon, the reason why he says Enochayev is because there's an Isser Dirabana. Again, Rashi says it's an Isser Deraisa. I saw also the Rafaner says expressly that this would be an Isser Dirabana according to Rabbi Shimon. Of Maris Ayin, that seems to be the inclusion of some Achron. I think that that's something which, but to follow this train of, like, it's such a beautiful dia. From the fact that you have the Rif and the Rashi pull both these Gemaras together, there's no way to say it. Whereas if you're passing like Tanakama, none of this question applies. Because then the mark on your leg could look just like the mark you're making on your arm that's going to be chayav for. Now, it does come up. Now, a few more things we have to look at before we finish up here in the next 20 minutes. Number one, the reason for this mitzvah. It is a massive, massive, massive mishigas that a lot of people have with the fact that this mitzvah is tied to Avodas Kochavim.
Which mitzvah?
Ksovas Kav. Making a tattoo.
Yeah, okay.
So, again, we saw the Tosefta, and the Tosefta says, Adshi Yikakea La Avodah Zarah. Right? You have to do it for the Avodah Zarah. To what degree is this an Avodah Zarah-based mitzvah? What do I mean by that? What do I mean? To what degree is this an Avodah Zarah-based mitzvah? Those of you who were here last week when we learned about Yom Taz, we talked a little bit about Chukos HaGoyim. There's a famous Taz, right? We love Taz. So we quoted the Taz, I think, almost every year. I was going to quote this Taz yesterday. We didn't get to it, obviously. I'm not a particular fan of the Taz. It just happens to be the Taz has lots of important things to say on the subject that we've been covering. We always have important things to say about that. But we found that especially. So the Taz was of the opinion that sitting down and removing your yarmulke is chukas hagoyim. You're over and over saying blessed. We went in depth about this, but we also brought the general rules of chukas hagoyim. What are the general rules of chukas hagoyim? Anybody remember the Rama? The Rama had a reason, but very good. If it has no reason or a negative reason, that's where it's chukas hagoyim. But if it has a potential positive reason, there's no chukas hagoyim. And there's a very fascinating cause, not in this simon. But actually, in the next siman, which talks about shaving and things like that, Peos Harosh says the Taz. We'll read this Taz, and we'll talk a little bit about what people do with it here. But this is Taz as a springboard, and note that the Taz does not say this in our siman. The Taz says this next siman. Zelash Natur. This is what the Tur writes. Kasev Arambam sheastram hakasev mnei sheosim kein aovdei kochavim v'ze eino miforash v'ein anu tzrichim tam lemitzvos v'chulei. Says the Tur, he quotes the Tur against the Rambam. The Rambam says the reason why we don't shave our heads all around is because it's what the Ovdei Kochavim used to do, the friars. Rishur can always talk about friar tuck, if you ever watched Robin Hood. So the friars had a round haircut like this. That's why it's called Hakafas Harosh, because you went all around, you evened things out, so you had a straight line around. That's the way they used to have it. Regardless, okay, says the Rambam, that's the reason why it's usher to shave your head because the goyim did it like this. The Komrei Avodah Kochavim do it. The Torah says, "Ein anu tzrichim tam lemitzvos." We don't need reasons for mitzvos. Now, what does that mean? And he says, "V'nira de bezeh cholik im haRambam." The Rambam tala din zeh beovdei kochavim shu chok shelahem. And listen to what the Taz says: "V'im kein yesh lefamim heter." Says a mitzvah which has to do, which is based on avodah zara, is also subject to the heterim of avodah zara. For example, mishum shlom malchus. There's a heter in certain things you're allowed to do for the honor of the kingdom, to keep the non-Jews happy. That certain laws of that are related to Ovdei Kochavim are suspended in those cases. And with this, the Tur disagrees with the Rambam. So what's the Tur saying? The Tur is saying, since it doesn't explicitly say by Beos HaRosh that it has to do with Avodas Kochavim, so therefore, you have no heterim, Rambam. You thought there were heterim because of Chukas HaGoyim? Wrong. You don't have those heterim. This is the Taz's take. Okay, and he says, And then he starts to go into the back and forth of this, and he blasts the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that the Torah is trying to say to the Rambam, like, and the Taz is not like this at all. You can see his language at the end, but the Beis Yosef basically said, what's the Rambam, you know, bothering us with all these reasons? And he says why the Rambam bothers, but he says the Torah was saying that, like, whoa, we don't have to keep the mitzvah if we don't have the reason. Like, who cares? Like, Hashem gives us a mitzvah, you keep it anyways. And the Torah does not like the way the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef gives his own reasons to why the Rambam says this, but listen to what he says in this last line, right? The lokum asher kasa Beis Yosef deladas haTorah leivad the Rambam in on the tzrichim lekayim haMitzvah kol she'enu yodim hatam chas v'shalom shaTorah yashuv kein b'das haRambam. Says the way the Beis Yosef explained is that the Torah was saying to the Rambam, like, what, you think if we don't know the mitzvah, we don't need to do, if we don't know the reason, we don't need to do the mitzvah? Saying that Torah would never say that about the Rambam. Chalila v'chas jumps up and down. I heard, I don't know what the source of this, I heard that the reason why the Torah called himself the Torah Zahav, right? So the words Torah Zahav appear in Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is the best source of all the best Sforim names on Halacha, by the way. You can read Shir HaShirim, just find Sefer name after Sefer name. Parshas Miketz, we did also all the Yosef ones, obviously Beis Yosef, and other things appear. Lots of different parshas in the Torah, lots of different Shiros and poetry and things. Mishle, all these things, and by the way, a lot of the times, all over Tanakh comes farm names, and most of the times, the farm names are mispronounced. But anyways, there's a pasuk Torei Zahav Nasalach Imbik Bidos Hakasa. So, why did he call the sefer Torei Zahav with a tes instead of Torei Zahav with a tuft? I heard, because he often focuses on the shot of the tour. He tries to uphold the tour as much as possible. Very interesting. Anecdotally, it's correct here. I don't know where the source of that is. By the way, the Shach, who famously argues with the Taz all over Eridea and elsewhere, all over here, what you say. We have not as much in Choshen Mishpat. The Taz isn't considered such a mainstay in Choshen Mishpat like he is in other places, although I do think they have. But anyways, so the Shach has a sefer called Nekudos HaKasef, which is to fight back against the Torei Zahav, Nasalach im Nekudos HaKasef, and Nekudos HaKasef is the Shach again fighting back on the Torah. Anyways, but getting back to this, this is the Taz's idea, that when you have a mitzvah which is Mishum Avodas Kochavim, then you have a heter. Now again, the Taz was saying this in regards to which mitzvah? Teos HaRosh. And he was saying there's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Tur, whether this mitzvah is indeed because of Avodas Kochavim. Now, what about our mitzvah? This mitzvah is even less of a machlokes. First of all, it's surrounded all over, just like we saw over there by Peos HaRosh with these Yisurim. But also, again, the Gemara saying Ani Hashem, and again, what the Rambam seems to paskin like the Tanakhama, and the Torah also brings it. Everybody seems to say there's some element of Avodas Kochavim here. So that might potentially mean that in certain scenarios it's actually Heterim for this. Now, Lemaisa people don't say this. Lemaisa people don't rely on this. And in fact, I heard people going the other way about saying, like, oh, you know, like, to me, like, the classic example would be like a kid who wants to get a tattoo on their arm, like the one of these fake tattoos,
yeah.
Right? Which don't last at all. So that's going to be a separate heter because it doesn't last, and because you're not doing any poking into the skin. But that maybe there will be an ezer drabanan, we'll see in a little bit. But I think the critical point here is, to me, that would be a great reason to why it's not about Avodas Kochavim, right? Or what about the flips, the most extreme case? If someone gets a tattoo, I love Hashem, or thank you, Hashem.
So first of all, I'm sure Hashem doesn't want that tattoo.
But nevertheless, how could you say that's a avodah zara? It's the furthest thing from a avodah zara.
Now some people say, oh, because the way that the avodah zara serves their gods,
chalila, that we should serve our God that way. I agree. But nevertheless,
you tell me, according to this story, according to others as well,
that there could be heterim that come up if it's not avodah zara based. Okay? So just a sniff to keep in our pocket in regards to hand stamps and things like that. There's obviously no intention of avodah zara. There's a very clear reason. Why are we stamping your hand? To know whether you have paid admission or not. And that's something. Now, yes?
I've heard of people being matir, cosmetic tattoos. I don't remember that. I think it was Ravari Linguitz here, actually. Tattoo way back. Or I remember saying, I think it was Nevinsal. With matir, a lot of people, if they can't, like for women, if the shadow comes up, if they're non, they're basically tattoos that last a number of years.
Right.
Cosmetic reasons.
Right, so we talked about it already. We saw this machlokas in the Rishonim. How long does it have to last? Again, depends on how much of a literalist you're going to be. We saw Rashi yesterday, Kol Hayamim, and then we saw the Nebuke Yosef. What did the Nebuke Yosef say? Anybody know in the first line? Go and read it. Starts number 4. Vinikareth Sham. Zman Gadol. A long time. Okay, it doesn't say your whole life, which is, seems to be the Pashas of Rashi. But anyways, this is another part. Now, let's talk about Ksiva. When I say Ksiva, and if you're following Rashi, and I read you here Piskei Tosfos also has a lot to talk about in general. What is Piskei Tosfos? Piskei Tosfos doesn't always follow the Tosfos that we have printed on the side of the Gemara. Piskei Tosfos is supposed to be someone's summaries of what Tosfos paskened all over the Gemara. Here, this is what Piskei Tosfos says for Daf Chaf Aleph. Ksoves kaka shemisarit besaro besakin kein osios is when you scratch in your skin with a knife some letters, v'achar kach mimale hakakea dio visam. And afterwards, you fill the hole with ink of some sorts. V'aser lasos kach shum ksiva. So this Piskei Tosfos, you could make 100 diukim in. It's unbelievable how much he sticks in there in this one little line. First of all, and by the way, someone has pointed out that even though we don't have this in our Tosfos, it says Davar Zeh Barashi. At some point, an editor said this is actually found in Rashi. So first of all, make like 10 diukim in this Piskei Tosfos. There's so much here. Number one is he switches the order of Rashi. Right? He goes in the order of the Rambam. And again, is this in Rashi? Is there one of the Balei HaTosfos that says this? Mistama, there was a set of Tosfos that at some point said this, that this guy was summarizing. But anyways, at the very least, you may see that perhaps it's lav dafka in the order, like the Shach and others. V'aser lasos kach shum ksiva. And what does he say? What does the scratch have to be? What does the cut have to be? It has to be ke'ein osios. Some form of letters. So, let's say you blotch something. Not necessarily ke'ein osios. Let's say you draw a very exquisite picture of a dragon. Is that ke'ein osios? You could argue not. Now, there are those who will tell you, and this has relevance to Shabbos, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So maybe not pictures that are precise, but if someone just made a mark, in the case yesterday, a very interesting case, my daughter brought her smock home from school. And the reason why they have a smock at school is for all painting-related things. They also have bingo dabbers. Any of you ever played bingo? I assume at some point in your life, these bingo dabbers, they're like, first of all, they're like all these like crazy colors, blue and green, and everything is like neon, like it's probably radioactive, the stuff that they use to make the dye. And this stuff does not come off. So you have to be wearing when you want to use these bingo dabbers. So we told her, you have your smock, now you can take out the bingo dabbers and dab your heart's intent on the paper. She's sitting here dabbing. And then she decides she's going to finger paint. And so she sticks her hand in the radioactive liquid, which is bingo dabber, and she starts spreading it around the paper. And I told her, I said, your hands are going to be green for a week now. Because it sinks in a couple of layers into the skin. That's certainly not ke'en osios. A picture, again, I could start to hear people arguing. A picture, okay. And again, we could talk about it in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. How does this relate to Hilchos Shabbos? A very interesting idea. Says the Menchas Chinuch on the Chinuch, I brought you the Chinuch over here just to show you. What does the Chinuch say? When are you over? Because of afilu os achas. If you write even one letter. Is that like Shabbos? No, Shabbos you need 2, right? But nevertheless, again, you have the Menchas Chinuch, by the way, he says, Kvar Vetzil El, Divaram Bamushari Shonim, Enum Vavur Dafka Ost, El Rishima Ba'alma, he brings you this Raya, that again, you saw everywhere else, because again, according to the traditional interpretation of the Rambam was what? That Sobes means the cutting. Okay? But you don't need actually a ksiva. You don't need actually a writing. And the Rambam says, even if you make any sort of rishima, it could be that's the case. Now, there are a lot of proofs to say that it does dafka have to be letters, in addition to these things that we've already brought you. So I brought you the Piskei Tosfos, I brought you the Sefer Achinuch, which seems to be against the Rambam. There's a Toras Kohanim, a source that we didn't talk about a lot, the Sifra over here. Does have this whole discussion. Kosei v'Kakeya. This Korban Aron, which is one of the very, 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 very early Achronim, a commentary on it, says, what does it mean when the Sifra goes back and forth? If you did Kakua and not Ksiva, if you did Ksiva and not Kakua, it says, what does it mean? Klomar. Vim Amar Kaka, meaning why does, so the Sifra is saying, why does the Torah have to say Ksoves Kaka? Why can't it just say Ksoves? Or why can't it just say Kaka? Why does it say Ksoves Kaka? It says, Klomar, Vim Amar Kaka, Vilo Amar Ksoves. Hayisi Omer Dala Kakua Lachud Mibalisha Yihya Botsuras Osios Yehechayev. Leze Amar Ksoves Kaka, Shiyirtze Ksiva Uvechafira Achiyachtav Osios Vihakeosam Bimashihu Roshem. Again, he specifically focuses on the Tsuras Osios. That's what the word Ksiva means. And again, there's Rayas, there's a whole Me'il Tzedakah which I found about this. It was quoted in a number of places. I found it, I think, maybe first by search. I don't remember. It's quoted all over the place. And again, it gets back to the psugya, to the diak that we had of the Netziv before. Makaso mochiach alav, right, in the second part of the Gemara. So he brings up the following question, which is, let's say we say you do need letters. Let's say the Pashat and Mishnah is that you need to actually be making letters. What are the odds that your scrape again looks like a letter?
No.
So,
depends which letter.
Depends which letter. So some people answer, like he says, some people answer, you can get a scratch, you can get a maka that looks like a letter. One letter is not so hard. Other people say, like we said, like the Netziv's Chiddush, which is also here in the Me'il Tzedakah, that even though it doesn't look like a letter, you still have an Issur Rabbanan against any type of thing. Yes, no.
There's so many different languages that have to be a letter.
Oh, so next thing you know, exactly, you're going to see someone coming up with a new kula. It has to be a letter in Hebrew, next thing. No, the assumption is that even if you're writing letters, I saw someone bring this up, but the Pashto Siv does not have to be specific Hebrew script letters. I think you're writing in English. I mean, first of all, you think the people who are writing themselves to Avodah Zarah were writing in Hebrew?
Like, not sure.
It could have been there. There may have been time.
Probably like Shabbos. I'm assuming same thing.
We see specifically knowledge Shabbos is much more machmir, meaning even smaller amounts. I think that that's pretty clear, that it wouldn't have to be Hebrew, and if you decided to write an A on your arm according to the Shita, you would still have a problem. But I'm sure there's someone out there who argues that no, it has to be, and in that way minimizes it. Nevertheless, a lot of these stamps, if you want to start entering into pictures, don't necessarily have writing on. Some of them do, some of them don't. That could be an additional hetzer. Now, what about the actual mohus of the stamp? And there's so much more to talk about over here. If we had the time for it, I would go back to that sugya. It's very interesting. Just something that we didn't clear at all. We didn't really discuss at all. Is when the Gemara, and maybe I'm just going to leave this here for you to think about, and then we're going to get to the Mishnah Chena, which is the last source. But something for you to think about, which is when the Gemara is talking about it. Okay, asr litin efer makal agave makas. You can't put this against ash on top of your wound. And maka, is that talking about what's the maris ayin? Or we said it's maris ayin. It's going to look like it. What's the maris ayin? Is the maris ayin that someone's going to see walking down the street in a month with a mark on your arm? Or is the maris ayin that someone sees now putting color inside a wound? Obviously, we can only prohibit an isa, but what's the maris ayin? And is the maka now that can be seen when you are doing the action, makasim ochavas alav? Or is it that later on people say, oh, he just had a scrape on his arm and that's why it looks a different color? Is that the makasim ochavas alav? Something for you to think about in the sugya. Also has nafkaminas, but anyways, let's just get to the last point. Now, the Menchas Chen is going to raise two additional issues that we need to discuss, and there's a ton more on the safa. It's so hard to choose what to bring and what not to bring. But I chose to bring the Menchas Chen over here. So the question is like this. And you get back to the tiyak of the Netziv again, but says the Minchas Chinuch, very interesting. We're going to read through it very quickly, and we'll try to get to some conclusions here. V'neim im kikeya v'lo kasa v'lo kasa v'lo kikeya, eno chayev. Right, that's what Mishnah says. He quotes the Mishnah. If you wrote but not punctured, punctured but not wrote. Eino chayev. What does eino chayev mean? What?
Like lashes.
You're not chayev lashes. Oh, ho, ho. You're, look at the chumrah you're making over here. So if you took out a pen now, you wrote a phone number, right? You're at a bar somewhere and you want to get someone's phone. Chalila b'chas. Exactly. You're ready chayev malchus for that. No, but seriously, if you wrote anything down on your skin, you want to write a note, you're going to tell me that means you're over in Isser Doraisa? I mean, this is already getting hard. So he says, Eino, right? Ach Eino Mavur Barambam Imiyesh Isser Durabanan. So he says, well, we have other cases. He's not willing to say like Rashi that it's an Isser Doraisa, even though you could easily make that diuk. Again, if Eino Chayev by Rabbi Shimon means Eino Chayev Malkus, your diuk is correct. And I'm going to bring this up. However, he says he's not sure in the Rambam if there's an Isser Durabanan just for doing one of them or not. Let's say you just took the needle and you poked, and now you've got a smiley face wound in your skin. What happens then? Ach milashon pater nira diika yisura. K'moshukas of Rambam chare leom mitzoration and beis gavi zakan. Ach dasa kesef mishnas sham gam kein batul chale. Says when it comes to hashchasas zakan, shaving your beard, the question is, when you're doing it with scissors, which you're not chayev for, you're pater. Does that mean that pater means pater alasser, or does that mean that pater means mutter? How do we paskin?
Pater is pater alasser.
I don't know. Do you shave your beard?
Yeah.
Looks like it.
Sure.
Right? So, right, we have pater alasser by Shabbos and then Gemara on Shabbos, but the bottom line is, again, and he says, the kesef Mishnah brings that is mutter lechatchila. U mishnas chachamim kasef lashon rama shelo kasef kan makas mardus. Near the Batel Achmiel. So the Mishnah Sechamim, Sefer. And he says the Rambam didn't write that you get Makas Mardus here if you did one or the other. Meaning, what is the Rambam, right? Look in the Lashon of the Rambam, back on the previous page. He says, right? Kasev elo rashim etzev elo shirashim etzev elo kasev estrita pater achi yichto vikakea. He doesn't say you get Makas Mardus. Makas Mardus is the punishment you get for being over on a Dirabanan. So he says, this is a diuk that is actually completely, completely mutter. He says, however, ve'in zediuk digam le'el lo kasev. Makas Mardus. And he says, that's not a good deal, because there are many other places where it writes Pater, and means Pater Alasar. Vayin Tosus Gittin, Chafam Adbeiz, a fascinating Tosus, which we didn't get to, very sad. Kasvu Le'inyan Get, Sham, Demukia Shas, right? Be Ksoves Kaka, that basically talks about writing a Get Shichur on Eved, and you did it in a way of Ksoves Kaka, right? The Hainu Ksav She'eno Yachal Limchok, which means some sort of permanent writing, and there it sounds like, if you read that Tosfos, that even if you just wrote in a permanent manner but didn't actually poke the skin, nira midivram diika isura midirabanan. Ka kasav vishmo be'evne ezer dafil kasav lo kikehave isura dirabanan. That even if you just wrote it and you did not do stillness to dirabanan, zarchian bezedel fizeh aser lichtav al besarho rishima. So that sounds like it's going to be aser to write on your skin. So first of all, according to Tosfos, very, very clear, when you're writing a get, it has to be made. All the Achronim say this, and he says as well, it has to be written in a way, Shinuachalis Dayat, that it can't be changed, that it can't be forged. So any writing that Tosfos says Isser Midrabanan is only a permanent writing that lasts forever. Okay, so number one heter with stamps is the stamps, they do wash off after a little while. Okay, might not be immediate, and maybe we could have another share about whether it's a Chatzitza for Nitilas Yadayim or not, but it doesn't last forever. So if it doesn't last forever, it seems even according to Tosfos, you don't have an Isser Durabanan. There's a whole discussion, by the way, how could the Edom sign? As soon as the Edom sign, if they sign using Ksovis Kaka, so then they're Pasal Edis. Okay, all this Gishmaka stuff that we have on the side here. Again, the Edom are signing on this Get, or Get Shichur, and then they sign as a tattoo. So they just made a tattoo on someone's body. So now you just did an Isser Durais in front of everybody, you're Pasal Edis. That's fascinating stuff. Again, very, very Gishmak, but not for today. Anyways, he says, "Vayncham right Mishnas Chachamim uVemes Afa Isser Drabanan Eino Elo B'Ksav Kayam." And he says explicitly what we just said: it's only when it lasts. VeEino Yachal Limko Kmo Asrita Batzmuchin Gavi Getamin Sheino Yachal Zayef Adkan Aser Afilu Ksiv Lachod Al Ksav VeAlma Al Gufo Bidyo B'Sikra Ein Kan Isser Kach Nira Pashut. So he says again, if it doesn't last and you're just writing, you're for sure okay. Ulfiza Ein Raya Mashugasa Afa Mishnas Chachamim Depok Chazim Ayam Adavar Chidin Davar Shosar Rishima. Right, he says, it doesn't matter what he said to go and look at people. Do v'emes lo ra'isi mishum yisrael shi'asr shi'im shalei yuchal limchok al gufo. Says, I have never seen anybody make a permanent mark on their body. But the bottom line is, he's willing to say this. Nevertheless, akin yiru du'is to drabanu k'tasa tosuz mara u'me'a rambam nira gam kain Umilashon a Mishnah Eno Chayev Al Kain in Lahakav Ein Shemarashi Gatzav Oshimen Den Chayev Magamag One Oshimen Dizir Eka Bchalgani Lacharin Alad Rashi Ela Al Karchem Lashon Eno Chayev Nira Dizir Eka Im Kain Latanakam and Amilashon Eno Chayev Nira Dizir Eka Kach Nira Pash. He did not sure. And again, he seems to be siding with the Shita that it's an Issur Drabbanan from the Lashon of Eino Chayev in the Mishnah. That's his conclusion here. However, as we noted, many people disagree in the Pshat and the Rambam. That's just simply not the case. And therefore, one side, again, is for sure if it's not permanent, you have nothing to worry about, so the stamp is fine. But even if it was permanent, or at some form of permanence, or we had a lower threshold for permanence, still, many Rishonim and Achronim would tell you that this is fine. Go and enjoy your lunch.